Police Headquarters calling emergency hospital in the 100 block on Kenwood Way. In the middle of the block, a hit and run. Calling car 45, car 45, an ambulance follow-up to 127 Kenwood Way. That's all.
Step on it, Sam. I'll crack the siren. Yeah.
Come on,
get out of
the way. Come on,
get out of the way.
What was it struck by a car?
All right, stand back. Give us a little room. It's an old woman, Sam. Here, give me a hand.
Yeah, hit by a car. The tire marks across her waist.
Well, there isn't much we can do for her until the ambulance doctor gets here. Just try to make her comfortable and...
What's the matter?
Feel her hand.
Why, it's cold.
Yes, and her body's beginning to stiffen. This isn't a hit-and-run case, Sam. Go to the box on the corner and call Captain Reynolds. Unless I'm badly mistaken, we have a very poorly disguised murder on our hands.
Sit down, Mac, and take it easy.
Thanks, Captain.
Sorry I couldn't get out to the scene of that accident when you called me. I sent Perkins, but he says you're not satisfied with the investigation.
That's right, sir.
What's on your mind, Mac?
Well, I know I'm not on the detective detail, Captain, but I've got some ideas on this case, and by all that's holy, they're right.
What doesn't ring true?
Everything. In the first place, when we reached the scene, the woman had just been found, and her hands were cold. In fact, the body was beginning to show rigor mortis.
Well, perhaps she'd been struck down earlier in the evening.
That doesn't fit either, Captain. Kenwood Way is a well-lighted street. There's plenty of travel both ways. At that time of night, there isn't a chance of a body remaining undiscovered for more than 10 minutes at the most. That woman had been dead 3 hours or more.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Then there's something else. Sam and I have answered a lot of hit-and-run calls. In every case where a person has been run over by a heavy car, their body never moves after it's hit. We found this woman lying face down in the gutter, yet the tire marks were across the front of her body.
You think she'd been killed elsewhere and her body carted to Kenwood Way?
You hit it, Captain.
Huh. Pretty slim evidence, Mac.
All right, here's some more. This little old lady, whoever she was found in a house dress without pocketbook, gloves, or hat. Now, during these cool evenings, women don't go out without hat or coat and gloves.
Hmm.
And if that isn't enough, there wasn't any dirt or grease on the back of her dress. And Kenwood Way is a particularly dirty street.
All right, McGrady. I'll push an investigation into this thing. And if you're interested, I'll give you a chance to follow it through. I'll try to make arrangements with your captain. Give me Captain Morris, please. Oh, come in, Mac. Anything new on the case?
Well, nothing worth mentioning, Captain. I question everyone in the neighborhood, and no one has ever seen the woman before. No one seems to know who she is or where she came from. I got something, though, Captain. Of course, it may not be worthwhile, but anything that looks like a lead would be welcome to me.
What's that?
Well, a fellow who runs a smoke shop near the scene says that a big blue touring car passed up and down the street several times just before the body was found. He says the last time it passed his shop, it was traveling at a high rate of speed.
All right. Put a pickup out on the car. Did you get a good description?
Not very good, but it'll be enough to go on. It's all we've got, Captain.
No, Mac. It isn't all we've got.
No?
No. Dr. Smith found a concussion on the side of the head that he said might have caused her death. He said it bore all the earmarks of a blow from a sandbag.
Now we're getting somewhere. If we only knew who this woman was.
Well, I have an idea that we'll know that very shortly. There wasn't a shred of identification on the body, but the morgue attendants filed a ring off the woman's finger, and it bore the inscription, "To Jesse from James, 1879. I gave the news to the afternoon papers.
That isn't much to go on.
But it brought returns as soon as it was published in the paper. You know Frank Egan?
Oh, the fellow who was once hired by the city as public prosecutor?
Yeah. Called me up about 10 minutes ago. Said he saw the story in the paper and went down to the morgue to identify the body. He thinks it was hit and run. He's coming up here in a few minutes to give us a lowdown.
What's Egan doing now?
Oh, only private practice, as far as I know. He's a good lawyer.
But a bum sport. I was in Judge McKinney's court one time when...
Yes?
Frank Egan is here to see you, Captain.
Oh, good. Show him in.
Yes, sir. This way, Mr. Egan.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, Captain. Do you remember me?
Yeah. Sit down. This is Officer McGrady.
Glad to know you, officer.
How are you?
Well, I've identified your hit-and-run victim, Captain.
Yes?
Yeah, she's a client of mine, Mrs. Jessie Smallwood.
Are you positive of the identification?
Yes, I knew her quite well.
Where does she live?
Over on Trenton. I think the number is 1621. She's been a client of mine since her husband died. She hasn't a living relation, not a soul in the world.
Too bad.
Fortunately, she left enough money to cover her funeral expenses. I'll make the necessary arrangements.
Not so fast, Egan. We'll be compelled to hold the body for a few days, at least until the inquest.
Inquest?
Yeah. You see, we have an idea that her death wasn't accidental.
What?
Do you know of anyone who'd profit by her death?
I know. Who'd want to kill a poor, defenseless old woman? She didn't have over $100 to her name.
That's just what we're trying to find out.
Well, that's your business, but it looks to me like accidental death.
But not to us. Get your coat and hat, Mac. We're going out to the late Mrs. Smallwood's house on Trenton. If you'll just make sure of the address, Mr. Egan, you can run along home. You won't be needed.
This is the house, Captain.
Yeah.
The door seems to be bolted on the inside.
Yeah, let's try the back door.
All right. Hey, I'll bet there's a door connecting the garage with the back part of the house.
Looks like it, Mac. Try the garage door. Yeah.
Right. It's locked too, Captain.
Now let me try this key. There we are.
You'd make a good cracksman, sir.
I might try it someday.
This garage is clean as a pin. Since Mrs. Smallwood didn't have a car... Look out. Don't step there, sir.
What do you see?
A tire print, Captain. Look at this. This is the same tread that we found on Mrs. Smallwood's dress. And here's a spot where the tire track stops for a foot or so. Captain, that space represents where Mrs. Smallwood's body lay when the killer ran the car over to make it appear accidental.
And Rivers got a lead on that car. He found it parked over on Adams Street. They're bringing a guy in.
Good. Send them in as soon as they arrive. Oh, Mac, you can lay off that phone a minute. Here's something new.
What is it, Captain?
Owens and Rivers just ran that big blue car down. They're bringing the driver in for questioning.
Now we're getting somewhere. Who's the guy?
They didn't say. What'd you find out on the phone?
Well, I called every insurance company in the book. One of them reported that Mrs. Smallwood recently took out three $5,000 policies on her life. Each carrying double indemnity in case of accidental death.
There's our motive. Who was named as beneficiary?
They're looking that up. They said they'd call back around 6.
Come in.
Here's the driver of that car, sir.
Oh, good. Come in. I'm Captain Reynolds. What's your name?
Pat Buck.
Do you own the car that Officers Owens and Rivers found you in?
Yes, sir, but...
Where do you work, Buck?
For the city. I'm a fireman.
Where were you the night before last, between 6 and 12 o'clock?
Well, that's what they've been trying to tell you. I was on duty. I went on duty at 6 that night and at 6 the next morning. Well, I have a dozen witnesses.
Have you any explanation for your car being on Kenwood Way the night before last?
I certainly have. I loaned it to a friend of mine, Red Fisher.
Fisher? Red Fisher. Look that name up, Mac.
You needn't do that, Captain. I'll give you all the information you want. Red Fisher served 2 terms in state prison for first-degree robbery. He used to hang around the station house after he got out. He seemed to be trying to go straight, so Cap McNeil got him a job.
Where?
I don't know. The job was driving for someone, but I never heard who it was.
You say Red Fisher borrowed your car?
Yep.
What did he want with it?
He said he'd pull the rear end out of his boss's car and wanted to tow it to the garage.
How long did he use it?
I don't know. I gave him a note so he could get the car, but I don't know what time he brought it back. It was there the next morning when I went home.
Did you have any witness to Red Fisher asking for your car?
Yeah. 2 of the firemen.
All right. I guess Fisher's the guy we want. Get a pickup out on him, Mac.
Right, Captain. We'll have that bird inside of 24 hours.
Yes?
The boy
boys just brought Red Fisher into headquarters, Captain.
Good work.
His mouthpiece is with him.
Who is he?
The mouthpiece is Frank Egan.
Egan, huh? Bring them both in.
Yes, sir.
Send a stenographer in here.
Here's the prisoner and his lawyer, sir.
Yeah. Have chairs, please.
Thanks, Captain. Afternoon, officer.
Close that door, Mac.
Right.
You can sit over there, Mac. Now, Fisher, I don't mind telling you that you're in a pretty tough spot.
Says you. You both ain't got a thing on me.
Nevertheless, I see you brought a lawyer down with you.
Sure, I brought him. He's my boss. I drive for him. I'm wise to you, Bulls. You'd frame me the first chance you got.
Frame him? Just like you said we did twice before, huh? Only this time, we do it with a noose. Now, you listen to me. We have witnesses that you borrowed Ted Buck's car at 8 o'clock. You drove out to Mr. Smallwood's house and on some pretext or other got inside.
Says you.
No, there's two witnesses who saw the car drive into the garage. When you got inside the garage, you hit her with a sandbag and then ran the car over her to make it appear as an accident. Then put her into your car, you drove across town to Kenwood Way and dumped her out.
That's a lie.
I'd suggest, Captain, that you be a bit more careful in arresting my client. These things will have to be proved, you know. After all, you failed to show motive.
Hello? Yeah? Who? All right. Thanks.
Now, as I was saying...
Pardon me just a moment. Hello, Tim. Send the desk sergeant to my office with a couple of murder warrants. Right.
Couple of what?
Murder warrants, Egan. Murder warrants. That was the insurance company calling. It seems that in addition to managing Mrs. Smallwood's affairs, you also took three insurance policies out on her life, naming yourself as beneficiary. And Egan, there's your motive.